This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. And signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. Brian is here on occasion to analyze what's going on in the financial world. And today we have two gentlemen who are veterans in this community at what they do and involving stocks and other investments. Fred Dent and Andy Anderson, and your number is 877-217-5757. It's been a rough week on Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average dropped about 800 points on Wednesday. It came back about 100 yesterday, and in the early trading, up just over 100 points today. A long way to go to get back to where it was, but still for the year, up about 14%. Under President Trump, in a year, 2 years now, in 7 months, the Dow Jones Industrial Average has risen 19%. Under President Obama, in 8 years, it rose 148%. And the all-time record since the Depression is that of William Jefferson Clinton, 229%. In fact, the top three presidents since the Depression, Clinton, FDR, and Obama, all Democrats. And the bottom three, as far as the Dow's performance, Hoover, Nixon, and Bush, Bush number two, all Republicans. So does it matter who the president is and what his or her policies are? Let's talk about it. 877-217-5757 is your number. Email us at talk@talklouisiana.org. Fred Dent, this inverted yield curve, also called the Fred spread, has caused some commotion. Is it a real barometer, one we should be concerned about?
It's almost a barometer in hindsight. If you look at the history of the inverted yield curve in recessions, to be sure, the yield curve goes down and it follows with a recession, sometimes in months, sometimes in years. We never know. But recession should be expected no matter what. It's like the changing of the season. And we will have winter eventually, but we've been in spring and summer for about 10 years. And so naturally, the economy should contract over time because it's just the nature of humanity. I read a quote this morning from someone who said once that history never repeats itself, but man always does.
Well, I mentioned these presidential performances, and they're widely varied. As noted, Bill Clinton up 229% in his 8 years, Herbert Hoover in his 4 years. The Dow lost 82% of its value. Does it matter who the president of the United States is?
I think it matters not so much to the market in the long term, but in the short term, presidential actions by fiat, like imposing tariffs and things of that nature from the executive level, can affect the markets near term. And I'm hoping we're going to talk a little bit about tariffs as well, because that is something near and dear to me.
All right. Well, we'll get to that. But Andy Anderson, I think based on previous conversations, you believe that a lot of this is luck as to how a president does when he or she becomes the leader of the free world and the markets respond. Why do you not believe that the president has a big impact on the performance of the Dow Jones Industrial Average?
I just don't believe that any one man can control the business cycle. You know, when Clinton was president, we had an invention come along called the Internet, which totally changed the entire world, and he just happened to be at the right place at the right time.
Those stocks weren't even in the Dow when Clinton was president.
That's
Microsoft,
right. Cisco,
and Apple, those weren't in the Dow. So the Dow went up 229%
right,
independent of the Internet.
Between 95 and 2000, my portfolios went up 1,300%.
And we had a balanced budget. He left with a surplus.
That's
now
right.
We have a $1 trillion deficit.
That's
so
right.
Can Donald Trump, can he hold a candle to Bill Clinton when it comes to the economy?
It just all depends on the business cycle.
Fred, then?
In some way, I agree with Andy in that no president can force the largest 500 companies in the United States to lose money for any length of time. They adjust. They make changes. They flow around things. So those companies who are incentivized to go out and earn profits for their shareholders by satisfying human needs and wants will adjust.
I think you're trying to simplify things too much, Jim. It's just not that simple.
Well, the president, this president has been on the stump talking about a record stock market. Well, every president should have a record stock market because the Dow should always be going up. So if it had gone up 1%, it would be a record market. But on a percentage basis, Donald Trump will have to be at 52,000 after 8 years. The Dow will have to be at 52,000 for him to stay even with his predecessor, the much maligned Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah, but you got to realize Obama came in what was it, 09 he came in?
Yes, January 20.
Well, that
20.
Was the very bottom of the Great Recession.
Actually, Dow went down his first year.
Well, you know, we're talking about probably the worst decline in the market since 1929. I mean, it was the worst recession we've had since the Great Depression.
Okay, well, Bill Clinton came in, and Bush won, and Reagan had done well with the Dow Jones Industrial Average there. In fact, a listener asked there. Numbers, under Reagan, it went up 147%, and under Bush, number one, it went up as well. Not that much, but 41%. But Bill Clinton inherited a robust stock market and made it even better.
Well, you know, like I say, the Internet was a boom cycle. It was an absolute boom cycle.
You're saying it's just totally the Internet.
That's pretty much what I'm saying.
And I just told you that those stocks weren't even in the Dow component.
Well, what does that mean?
Well, that means if the Dow Jones Industrial Average goes up and those stocks are not in it, then the Dow didn't benefit from Microsoft or Intel or Apple or any of those
stocks.
Well,
the cycle dragged everything up. Everything went up. Between 95 and 2000, you could have been throwing darts and you were making money.
There were some times when the Dow dropped precipitously during that period, but it came back.
Just minor corrections.
Okay. 877-217-5757 for Andy Anderson and Fred Dent. Let's go to Ray in Prairieville. Hi, Ray. Good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Thanks for taking the call. One quick question for you, both of your speakers. It seems to me that the Congress should take away the right of a president to raise tariffs. That should be a congressional responsibility. They ought to make a committee. But raising tariffs, which is just going to cause the raise in costs to us in the United States, doesn't make a lot of sense.
Actually, it is a congressional responsibility, but the president's doing it without the consultation of Congress, as he does a lot of things. But these tariffs, you wanted to talk about that, Fred. You believe it's a drain on the market. Why?
Well, it's a drain on the market. The best analogy that I've heard is an economist said that tariffs are like bringing a knife to a playground. A kid brings a knife to a playground. At first, everybody scatters. But after the shock wears off, other kids grab knives and they come back. And our people the Chinese, for example, that we're raising tariffs on, they're not stupid. And what I think can be a major miscalculation is that they have a culture and a way of thinking that is different from the American or the Western way of thinking. We don't really know what we're getting into with this. And look, there are some valid concerns that the Chinese have violated. But in general, the tariffs, I don't think anybody wins from that.
Let's face facts. We're dealing with communists here. You know, these people back in 50 years ago, well, I just saw that Woodstock thing on public television. You know, these people were our enemies.
Well, Reagan dealt with communists. Clinton dealt with communists.
You're not going to turn these people around. The only way you're going to turn them around is you're going to have to shake them.
Well, if you're not going to turn them around, why should we mess with tariffs?
Because that's the only thing we can do.
877-217-5757. Rhett on Acadian. Hi, Rhett.
Hey, Jim. Good morning. You know, I think you're fighting a losing battle trying to convince your panel of what you're saying. I agree with you. And it just seems that Trump is setting up an environment where investors are losing confidence, consumers are losing confidence, and he's determined to keep swimming upstream against the current. And at the end of the day,
Rhett, we're getting a dollar's worth of government for 75 cents under President Trump. $1 trillion deficit, more than 20% of the budget is related to debt on this interest on the debt. At some point, something has to give, but the president, who talked a lot about $20 trillion debt the country had when he was running for president, now says nothing about the $23 trillion debt that we have today. Why has this become a non-issue, Fred Dent?
Because it's simply not being magnified in the media. Let me go back to tariffs for just a second, because we hear a lot about tariffs being a tax on the consumer. And eventually that's what happens, is that it gets passed on to us when we shop in the store from the things that are imported from China. But it's also a tax first on the importers, those companies that bring things in. And those companies, when their costs go up, mm-hmm. in order to create earnings, they have to do a couple of changes. And one of those could be laying people off to lower their labor costs. to keep their profits higher. And so this, the tariffs not only could be a higher cost at the cash register, but could also be a higher cost for employment as employers curtail labor.
Ray in Denham Springs. Hello, Ray. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I think when you have a president that for personal gains, and he's only in everything basically for himself, he seems to me never have a long-term plan for anything. It's everything is knee-jerk reaction.
Andy, is that fair?
Jim, this is very frustrating for Fred now. We really don't want to talk about this, to be frank.
I do.
Well, I just had a caller who's very sincere, and I think he asked a valid question. If you don't want to answer his question, then you can leave the studio.
Well, I may just promise you.
Okay, well then.
No, everybody cool down.
All right, well, it's no reason to denigrate a caller with a legitimate question. He asked you to answer. So we'll return after this timeout on Talk Louisiana.
Jim, I don't want to talk about
this. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle is producing. Back in the day when Elvis Aaron Presley was alive, when he would finish his concerts, he never did an encore. It was Elvis has left the building. Well, Andy Anderson has left the building, upset about the call from Ray in Denham Springs saying he didn't want to talk about the president, in Ray's judgment, doing things seat of the pants. Now, Fred Dinn has stayed with us kindly. Thank you for doing so, Fred. Noted financial analyst, and we're talking about what's happening on Wall Street. It's been a rough week. Does the president have a plan like Ronald Reagan? Like him or not, we know he had a plan, and he stuck with that plan for 8 years. He believed in the Laffer curve, and he went with it, and the markets responded well. The deficit went out of control, but does the president really have a plan, or is this just what's good for today may not be good for tomorrow, and I'm subject to change on a consistent basis?
The aforementioned president and presidents before our current president seemed to have some sense of measured consistency. They could change, but it wasn't on a whim and at a moment's notice and on a tweet. And I think that's destabilized. One of the things that's interesting is that there are a lot of emotions going on right now about this conversation. And the economy has been strong, and that has had a benefit to Trump because it has allowed him to do a lot of things that might otherwise go unnoticed. Well, they're all noticed, but not be responded to. Now that the economy may be slowing and people are puckering up a little bit and being more concerned, all of a sudden they're taking a little bit closer look. And that's, I think, what that caller was raising at that time.
Julio in Sherwood Forest. Hi, Julio. You're on Talk Louisiana. Good morning.
Morning.
Yes,
yeah, the economy must be doing good for you, sir. But there's a lot of people the economy ain't helped. That man raised taxes to help the rich. He said what he's doing, what he say. Now, I could agree with him that he's doing what he say he's doing. But what he's doing is not good for the nation.
All right. I think he cut taxes to help the well-off, the president did. And it did stimulate the economy, but maybe not as much as anticipated. And we have this roaring deficit in debt that continues on as we see it, and record levels. What about his tax plan? Was that something, Fred, that was good for the markets and good for the country, or too early to tell?
Well, the corporate tax restructuring as well as the tax reduction that was passed led to share buybacks by corporations. It also his regulatory state reduction has also been beneficial to the market as barriers to operations have come down, which has allowed more fluidity with companies. But I think the main thing that the callers are wondering right now is, will I be okay? What should I do? I mean, what am I supposed to do with all of this information that's coming out?
Patrick in Innisfail Estates. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yeah, on the tariffs, I'm kind of divided on myself. I kind of agree with him putting tariffs on communist countries that don't have human rights and use slave labor. They don't have the same environmental constraints that we have. So they kind of cheat when it comes to having slave labor like communist China. And what about Obama printing all that money to boost up the stock market when he was president? All that printing of money, you don't think that caused inflation and lowering of the dollar?
that stimulus, which happened under Obama. There was one under Bush, too, Bush 2, literally. And of course, it did, no doubt.
Yeah, but the problem
what did we have to do it, though?
Well, that's history. The question is what to do later on. And the Fed unleashed so much stimulus during the last event that it may have run out of bullets now. I mean, they can only lower interest rates so far.
That's right. And the president has been complaining about interest rates, but the rates now are much lower than they were during the Clinton years. And the Clinton years were obviously very good for the economy. Richard on Airline Highway. Good morning, Richard. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. How y'all doing? The guy I just called about always talking about what President Obama did. That man got us out of a huge problem we had. This man going to cause a problem. The stuff he's saying and he's putting hate between us and the Mexicans, them Mexicans been here, they indigenous people. They've been traveling these ways since the 1300s.
All right. Is it possible to evaluate the president without also taking into consideration all these other things that are in noise in the background? They're people who don't like him and don't like his policies, and because of that might be harsher than they would be for somebody they do like.
Yeah, well, these are opinions and emotions, and they seem to be self-generating, and we get into our echo chambers, and we feed that for ourselves. And somewhere along the way, we need to step back and say, what is right? What is right for me? What is right for the country? And take care of ourselves to the extent that we can, because much of this is out of our control other than voting.
And, Richard, I will say that the Dow Jones Industrial Average did much better under President Obama than it has under President Trump, and most people do not know this. Even the supporters of President Obama. I heard Joe Biden talking about record Dow levels. Well, yeah, as I said, the Dow should always be at a record because it should always be going up, but on a percentage basis, Trump can't hold a candle to Barack Obama. 877-217-5757. David in Atlanta. Hi, David. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning. First of all, the President Obama could not print money. That's a product of the Federal Reserve, not the executive or the Congress. They control fiscal policy, not monetary policy. But, you know, any trade agreement is better than no trade agreement. This country produces more than we can consume. If we don't export what we have, the economy will implode. We have more growth. We have more income. We have more wealth than China has. So it's understandable we're going to buy more from them than they're going to buy from us. If a trade surplus is so good, why isn't Japan and Germany the economic powerhouse of the world?
Fred?
Well, that is interesting he brings that up because, indeed, you can only prop it up for so long. And when we see subsidies being given to special interest groups who are affected by the tariffs, that's just adding more taxation or government spending into the mix. And yes, Germany and some of our trading partners are also being affected. So this is we're in a global economy. It's just not a zero-sum game between us and China. It's all about opening borders for trade. And actually, free trade leads to peace. But blockage of trade, in my view, leads to the potential for conflict.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average now up 236 in the early going today, so it's so far a good day. But we know, Fred, that this could change. It could go up more, or, of course, it could fall back. But this inverted yield curve spooked a lot of investors. And believing that a recession, I think most analysts are now saying there's a 40% chance that the U.S. will have a recession in the next year, which would mean there's a 60% chance there won't be a recession. Your crystal ball, what do you see?
There will be a recession no matter what. It's part
at
of the business.
Point.
At some point. And to try to predict when that happens, it's anybody's guess.
But can things happen to precipitate a recession?
Yes. So let's go back and look at 2007, October of 2007, about 12 years ago, right before the Great Recession. And we remember that was the bank failures, the mortgage mm-hmm. lending crisis, et cetera. That's what precipitated it. But if you had invested $10,000 the day before the market started going down, and P.S., it went down 50%, $10,000 into the market, today your money would be worth $22,000. That's a 7% average annual return.
Sally on Bluebonnet. Hello, Sally. You're on Talk Louisiana with Fred Dent.
Hi. I had a question about trade policy. And before the last election, everyone was, like, backing away from TPP. But don't you think that might be a good thing for candidates to float as a...
Well, if that leads to consistency in trade and predictability and mutual benefit, yes.
Randy and Zachary. Thank you, Sally. Randy, you're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, I just want to make a comment. For the first time in a very, very long time, we're energy dependent. I mean, energy independent, and that makes going to make a tremendous difference in the economy.
And we had another listener ask a question about the energy sector and some of the problems it's having right now. It was Roy who said, do you see a recovery in the energy sector anytime soon?
Is he asking me?
He's asking you.
Well, let me go back to the caller for just a second, because the caller is saying we are energy independent. But if we are, why are we still in bed with so many of these former energy producers to the level that we are?
877-217-5757. We'll spend a bit more time with Fred Denn, and then we'll hear from the legendary George Caldwell Sells. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757. In just a few minutes, we're going to go to George Sells, the legendary anchor man who was the top-rated anchor in Baton Rouge, along with Donna Britt, for almost a quarter century. But we are spending a few more minutes with Fred Columbus Dent, financial advisor to the stars.
Too many words.
877-217-5757. Phil in Jefferson. Phil, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Good morning, Jim. Yes, sir. If you were attuned to what the market was doing like before the crash of 2008 and thinking that this one that's coming up would be something like that or as bad or worse, since we have idiots in Washington right now running our administration.
All right. I'm sure many would disagree with Phil. Certainly Eddie Rasmoni would.
You know that my first day on the job was Black Monday 32 years ago, October 19th. On Wall Street, I was fresh out of LSU. Very first day, I'm in Manhattan working for a firm. The market drops 25%. And people were in a panic. I remember there were two groups of people. There were most people who sold out and freaked out and didn't know what to do. But there was a smaller group who put their head down and took advantage of the situation and stuck to their plan. And I made a commitment at that time that I would spend my career helping people be the ones who had their head down and
well,
stuck
to their plan. Well, it dropped how much that day, Fred?
Well, 25%.
And that was under President Reagan. And I noted during his 8 years, the Dow went up 147%. So obviously he withstood that downturn in 1987. Final call for Fred Dent. Henry at the Country Club of Louisiana. Hello, Henry.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Jim. Good morning, Mr. Fred, son of a great hero of mine. I got a question for y'all, and this is a serious question. This isn't a conspiracy theory or anything like that. But for the life of me, every time Trump tweets something about the economy, the market goes up and up or down. I was wondering, what about the people that are making money off of his tweets?
Oh, so in other words, can you get ahead of Trump's tweets? There are, though, well, I would say in short answer, probably not, because the tweets are so volatile. There's no way to predict even microseconds in advance of the tweet coming out of what's going to happen. So I would say probably not, although there are groups in Washington who monitor political activity and make market bets based on that. But I think this is such a small window of opportunity that there may be, but I doubt it.
Well, thank you so much, Fred Dent, and thanks for staying the course. And we also thank Andy Anderson for staying for one segment.